Hello again, this is DC Muzan of Faith, Love, and Truth Publications with episode 3 of our series on salvation. In this series on salvation, we are attempting to present the initial steps, step by step, to help establish a strong and solid foundation in the lives of those who are seeking the Lord's salvation and a genuine relationship with Him according to Him and His Word, as revealed to us in the scriptures of the Holy Bible. Now, for introduction to the Bible can be considered as a great mystery. And the scriptures reveal that the Bible contains mysteries of the kingdom of God from before creation and even now. For example, some scriptures are expressed plainly while others are expressed in parables and or riddles. Some information is begun in the Old Testament, perhaps by words in the flesh, while that information is completed in the New Testament, perhaps by revelation in the Spirit. We could read one scripture for a week and receive additional information from that same scripture every day. Therefore, we must seriously consider the scriptures, not only read them, but study them for ourselves and follow God's instructions for learning the scriptures, which helps us to become acquainted with Him and get to really know Him. We must seek out true and genuine God-ordained, chosen and called ministers, teachers and preachers of the Word of God and the gospel as well. Now, to begin, the Bible starts with the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endures forever. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Now, this is Proverbs 1 and 7, Psalm 111 and 10, and Proverbs 1 and 29 and 31. So this is the beginning of establishing a relationship with the Lord. We must have the fear of the Lord. And that's not dread and being afraid. That also includes the reverential fear of God, reverencing God as God. He is God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth and all that is within, including us. And whether He does anything for us or not, He is God. And we need to respect and reverence Him for who He is, regardless of what He does or does not do. Now, if we go down to these other scriptures, it says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." This is Romans 1 and 20, King James Version. Now, the Amplified says, "For ever since the creation of the world, His invisible nature and attributes, that is His eternal power and divinity, have been made intelligible and clearly discernible in and through the things that have been made, His handiworks. So men are without excuse, altogether without any defense of justification." Now, what this addresses is people that say that they don't believe in God because if there was a God, these things wouldn't be happening to people, and how can God, allow, people to be hurt? But first of all, everything from beginning of time until now is addressed in the scriptures of the Holy Bible, in God's Word. There is a reason for everything, and everything that is going on now is man's own doing. It's our own doing because of pride, rebellion, disobedience. We choose to not believe in God, or we choose to hold ourselves above God. We are the cause of all the calamities and foolishness and evil and wickedness that's going on in the earth today. And the Bible explains it all, explains what happened before in history's time, and explains what's going on now, but we fail to learn from history. So back to the fear of the Lord. We need to reverence God as God And for those that say, well, they don't know, they don't believe in God, the agnostics or whatever, or even those that have other religions, like the Bible says that he can be clearly seen, his eternal power, God as God. We could not create the sun, the moon, the stars, or whatever, even though man thinks of himself as a god, is trying to clone people nowadays and make all these counterfeits of God, of people and of God. But we need to, first of all, reverence God as God and respect him. And we also do need to have another fear of him in case, like, that, because he says that he's going to judge everybody according to their works. Everybody according to the intents, the secrets of their heart, the evil or goodness or whatever in their hearts. Everyone is going to be judged as to their works upon this earth and the thoughts and intents of their hearts. Whether they think they're secret or not, they will be exposed and they will be judged for that. Now, moving along, the next part, first we must have the fear of the Lord. And we must believe in him and realize that he is God, and there's no excuse for us not believing in God or believing that he is who he is, the one and only Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth and all that is within, including us. The next step in our salvation, and all of this is the beginning of our salvation before we even begin to experience salvation. The next part is, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's John chapter 4 and verses 23 to 24. Now we must realize that when God is addressing a lot of things in the scriptures, he's addressing them from his point of view. We might not understand it. Just like, for one thing, the scripture talks about the life is in the blood, and that there every covenant is made in blood. We don't totally understand these things, but this is God, and this is a spirit. All of these things are spirit. The word is spirit. Our blood, he talks about that the spirit of life. The life is in the blood. So we must, like I said, reverence God as God. He knows what he's doing. We may not know what he's doing, but who are we to challenge God Almighty? God's world, God's rules, and we need to accept that. Now, we're willing to accept man's rules, even if he's wrong, or even if he exhibits that he's the biggest human devil that ever lived. We are willing to accept his rules and accept his titles and accept this and that. But we need to first and foremost put God in his place above any and everything. Any and everything, any and everybody. God comes first. And then we love our neighbors as ourselves. But we love God and dedicate ourselves to him first and foremost at all costs, no matter what. That's what we are commanded to do. And we can't do that without being in spirit and in truth. So God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So how do we do that? We must be born again. We must be born again of spirit. And the reason why that's called born again is because when man was first created, man was created a spiritual being, spiritually connected with God. And when he sinned, he died. He didn't die physically like Satan tried to convince Adam and Eve that, oh, you're not going to die. They died spiritually. They were cut off from God. And I've heard some people define evil as the absence of God. So they were cut off from God, and it was downhill ever since. Once they sinned and they received the knowledge of good and evil, that it was within them, they were immediately cut off from God, and then they went on to birth the first murderer. So Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, flesh, and of the Spirit, and that's the Spirit being born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. The wind bloweth where it listed, and now hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it come and whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of spirit. Now that water, born of water and of the spirit, that water could symbolize flesh. It could symbolize the water of the spirit, because living water is also spirit. Now that was John chapter 3 and verse 3, 5, 6, and 8. 5 to 6 and 8. And so then, now the Amplified, and that's the King James, the Amplified says, the wind blows, breathes where it wills, and though you hear its sound, yet you neither know where it comes from, nor where it is going. So is everyone who is born of spirit. This contradicts the teaching that you must be baptized in the Holy Ghost, and the speaking in tongues is the evidence of your salvation. The wind blows where it wills, and it says that no one can tell where it comes from, nor whether it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of spirit. When you are born again, no one knows. There's no evidence, immediate evidence to other people that you have been born again. You know whether or not you have been born again. And like Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them. So while you have repented, you have acknowledged, confessed them to the Lord, and repented and had a change of heart and mind and decided to change your direction in life and have received Jesus into your heart, you have become born again. That well of living water has been created in you. Nobody can tell anything about that. So your salvation, your initial salvation experience of being born again, is a personal experience. It is a personal experience, and you have nothing to prove to anyone, because it's by according to the word of God, and nobody can tell, but they can tell by your character. Jesus said, by their fruit, you shall know them. You shall know the truth from the false by their fruit. So as you begin to live your life unto the Lord, and you have changed, and you don't want to do the same things that you were doing in the world, and you don't want to sin again, that is the proof. That is the evidence. There are many people that are speaking with false tongues. They have memorized what they have heard someone else speaking, or it's demonic. It is demonic. Demonic tongues speaking through them. And so that is no evidence. The evidence, I have seen people who they're speaking in tongues, and it's been vexing because it's not the Spirit of the Lord. And they have no changes in their life. In fact, they're worse than what they were in the world, with gaslighting and lying and cheating and trying to take advantage of people and trying to make everybody else think that they're crazy, and while they're doing all these foolish, horrible, horrible things to people. The Spirit of God does not lead you to harm anyone. And when you do cruel, vicious things and you laugh about it, or it's nothing to you, that's of the devil. Point blank, that's of the devil. So moving along, Jesus said, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cut and cast into the fire, whereby by their fruit you shall know them. And that's Matthew chapter 7 and verses 18 to 20. You know that he is righteous. You know that everyone that doeth righteous, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. That's 1 John 2 and 29. Now, when John speaks and he talks about committing and you do this or whatever, he's talking about consistency. Consistency. He's not talking about someone who makes a mistake or someone who is struggling or they're trying. He is talking about people who have a consistent righteousness in their life. They strive to do the right thing. They desire, they hunger, desire to do the right thing, to do what is pleasing unto the Lord. And they submit themselves to the Lord so that, and his word, so that he can flow through them and lead and guide them. The Bible says that he who is led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed, the word of God, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. That's 1 John chapter 3 and verses 6 to 10. Now what we're talking about is the Bible says the very thought of foolishness is sin. So God is not talking about something, an accident or something, or you in your struggle with the, he's talking about people who have given themselves over to work unrighteousness, to giving themselves over to the devil, giving themselves over to hate their brethren, and to just do things, just sin and do things that are not right. There are people in the church and people in the world that they hate people. They hate people, and they walk in envy, hatred, murder. They have to be, it's all about them. They have to be first. They're all out for attention. They're not someone who makes a mistake and might sin, or they thought something wrong, or they might have, you know, done something a little out of character. But these are people that are practicing sin. They are practicing. They mean to do evil to other people. There's scriptures in Psalms that and even Proverbs that talk about how people just imagine mischief and wickedness on their bed. They can't even go to sleep unless they cause some to fall, or unless they have done some mischief to somebody. And that's why those that are serving God, really truly serving God, are experience some vicious attacks, vicious spiritual attacks. But the Lord will teach you how to fight. He will fight your battles. He will help you, and you will, like the Bible says, Jesus, God always told his people, they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. They shall fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you. I am with you, and I am with you to deliver you. And that's, we need to know and stand on the word of God in the midst of the trials and tribulations and the vicious, vicious, horrible attacks that we might experience. But what this talks about is that his seed remaineth him. As you get more of the word in you, you might be thinking about, like, you really would like to do something. You really would like to hurt somebody. But you won't, because the word is in you. And when we feel like that, we need to confess those things to Jesus. Confess those things to the Lord. That's how we feel. And then that way he can take those things from us, because the word will tell us that whoever is plotting evil against the innocent or against somebody without cause, they are going to be punished. They're going to be punished in this life, and they're going to be punished in the life hereafter if they do not repent. And like there's a scripture that says it's a terrible thing to fall in the hands of the Almighty God. And I wouldn't want to be in that position. So moving along, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, that justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. So this is how the Lord, this written word tells us how God feels about things. And nowadays, people call wicked people good. Wicked people are allowed to reign in churches and just and government just reign, and people call them good, call evil good and good evil. And when you strive for righteousness, you're trying to do the right thing. Oh, there's mockery, and oh, you must be super saint, or mockery, and people are just making fun of you, and you know, because you are submitted to the Lord and trying to do the right thing. And so the Lord says, woe unto them, woe unto them, woe unto them. And then I've seen the wicked justified. We've been in situations where we did the right thing according to the scriptures and according to the law, and someone wanted to do evil things toward people, and they were justified. They were justified, and we were made out to be the bad guy because we did what was right. So there are people operating like this nowadays. They call evil good and good evil. They put darkness for light and light for darkness. They put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, and justify the wicked and try to take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. They condemn, they ostracize and slander and condemn the righteous for doing the right thing, which we're all supposed to do. But like the Lord said, woe unto them. So God will deal with them. Now, we want to move along to, we want to explain the difference between born again of spirit and the Holy Ghost baptism, because this is important. Being born again, that's being saved. Your initial salvation experience of being born again of spirit. The well of living water, the Holy Spirit, has been created within us, within our hearts, within a measure, which will spring up into the Holy Ghost baptism once Jesus has been glorified, which is resurrected, and into everlasting life. John chapter 4 and verse 14. So when you are born again, when you receive salvation, when you experience the initial salvation experience, you have initially been saved. You are born again of spirit. That well of living water has been created within you and within your heart. And like Jesus said, that he could not send the Comforter to us until he went, he could not send the Holy Ghost baptism. He could not send the Comforter to us unless he was back in heaven, because the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, is the Spirit of Jesus. That's why we can receive the fullness of the Holy Ghost baptism, or the Holy Ghost, after his death and resurrection, whereas no man could receive the Spirit of God without measure except for Jesus, who is the only begotten Son of God the Father and God Almighty. Now, the Holy Ghost baptism, the well of living water that was created in us by being born again of spirit, is filled. That well is filled, full to overflowing, baptizing and immersing us from the inside out. That's what Jesus stressed when he was talking to the scribes and Pharisees and the other religious leaders. Be clean from the inside out. Clean the inside of the cup, not just clean the outside where people think that you're clean, but inside you're full of evil and wickedness and ravenous and just everything of the devil. We must be clean from the inside out. With God, God has an order. God is a God of order and precise order. And that's what we are trying to do with these scriptures and with this series, is give you the precise order, God's order, from the beginning all the way through. Because people nowadays, you jump into things and it's like, well, come do this, and then, you know, you're saved, and come do that and that type of thing. And so that's not God's order. So we want to give you God's order because we want to help people to establish a strong, solid foundation in their lives, and in the Lord's salvation, and to be able to establish a genuine relationship with him according to his word. And so that is it for episode 3. And we will be beginning episode 4 right away. God bless you.